Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 411 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
You sound absolutely dejected, sir. What on earth could be... what burden are you carrying this evening, sir?
I am fine. I'm a big boy. I'm fine, thanks.
Really?
Catch a big game last night? There's a big game in town last night.
Did watch the big game. Watched every minute of it. Took it all in, made some key observations, turned the television off, went to bed.
Right. Can I just ask you a question because I'm not 100% sure about this?
This would be fucking good.
Is your lovely wife a state trader like you, or is she still New South Wales for life?
My wife, as you well know, gives zero fucks about rugby league until yesterday, last night, when she sat her ass on the couch. And I'd been working from the dining room table all day, trying to catch up on some stuff. And the game was getting ready to start. And my lovely wife, as you call her, it's not what I call her, but it's what you call her, because she's your number one fan. And you have a reciprocating amount of fandom for her, which is quite frustrating, if I'm honest. she sits on the couch. I cannot stress. You know how little fucks she gives about rugby league.
Just for context. I mean, she would make posts on Facebook around the first week of March every year.
Yeah.
To my wife saying, "Oh, now it's time to be fucking twill widows again for six months and blah, you know, shit like that." Yeah.
Dumb shit like that. Exactly.
I didn't say dumb shit. You said dumb shit.
No, I did. You're right. I did, because it's dumb shit.
I would never say that.
So Glennie, are you coming to watch the game? And who's that?
Does she call you Glennie?
She does call me Glennie. Yes, there was a long time where she was the only one that was allowed to call me Glennie, but fucking the floodgates.
Until you made your own fucking hashtag and put it on the socials.
All happening long before then. The floodgates have opened. So yes. Who's that guy? What's his name? Brian To'o. Oh, he's a little cutie. Little Brian. Look at him. Who's that? Which one's that? The one with the blonde hair. What's his name? Tom Trbojevic, babe. Why are you asking about things you don't care about? No, I'm just here. The game's on. What's his name? Tom. Tom Trbojevic. I just fucking told you. Is that the one Nathan talks about with the meme on with the little kid that says he's the fucking goat? Yes. One and the same. He's good. And then the play where he knocks the ball out of the hand. Oh, I can tell why Nathan loves him so much. He's really good. Fuck. Painful. Fucking painful.
Yeah, no, because she posted on my Facebook page and she was like, I watched the game last night.
Because I was giving her zero credit for watching the game because it was an absolute piss take. She's like, I'm just gonna make Nate aware that I watched the game. I was like, okay, go and tell your fucking mate.
And she posted, I think she like right when I was in just like that peak post series win glow of like just I was standing on the summit of Troll Mountain.
Yeah.
Just
you were Troll Mountain.
I planted the flag in there and I was just looking around surveying the kingdom.
You were Castle Troll Skull.
You should probably let your lovely wife know.
Stop calling her my lovely wife.
Are you saying that she isn't your lovely
She's
wife?
She's a bitch.
I can't wait to get on Facebook and tell her to listen to the show this week.
Yeah, let's see. Can I let's just see if she doubles the amount of episodes she's listened to in her life.
I'm gonna go in. Do you remember that video I sent you of that the special needs kid on the talk show?
Are you talking to me?
Harvey. Yeah, Harvey. I love you, cunt.
All I'm picturing now is this humble cottage in Toowoomba, and it's that woman's voice saying, Glenny. Oh, Glenny. Glenny, the game's on, Glenny. Yeah,
that's how she talks when she's been patronising. She even throws a bit of an English twang on.
And then the tigers run out, and there's something with an extra chromosome that goes, hello, you cunts.
Bobby Bama. Anyway.
But you should let her know that if she jumps online to the This Week in League website and orders the exclusive 2021 State of Origin Victory Memorabilia t-shirt, that she can have the gorgeous, gleaming, grinning faces of both Brian To'o and Tommy Tamahanaha, as well as some of their amazing New South Welshman teammates.
And that offer is extended actually to everybody.
Glorious effort, I will say. Quality effort.
So you go to thisweekinleague.com, just click on shop or store or whatever it is, I can't fucking remember, and you'll see the 2021. And like, there's, look, when it comes to like post-game memorabilia, there's the good and there's the bad. For example, like, you know, Cronulla beat the fucking Knights by 60 or something a couple of years back. Do you remember that? They released a fucking print, framed print, blah, blah, like just absolute loserish fucking shit, right? Just like poverty club mentality. However, when the Origin series is won in the second game with an aggregate score of like 76-6 across the two games, you get the shirt from This Week in League, which fucking sums it up so beautifully, eloquently. It's a shirt for the fucking modern age too.
Yes.
And check it out. Pre-sale now, at least until, what, next Monday? I'll give you a couple of episodes to grab it. May extend it depending, but yeah, you've got about a week. Consider about a week. The sooner you get in, the sooner we pull the trigger on this thing and get them produced.
It's fucking glorious, yeah. And I want one.
And honestly, the sooner that I can actually chuck them into production, the bigger the chance is that I can ship them down to, oh, if you've got a fucking ticket to Game 3, if Game 3 happens, wherever Game 3 is going to happen, I will prioritize shipping so you can wear it to the game.
Yes.
And be a true fucking king.
Yes.
In the fucking sweep match. So get on that, thisweekinleague.com.
Just on the theme of the shirt, well, following on from the general idea around the shirt.
Yes. Yes.
Which is quite similar to a lot of the stuff that goes on between the lovely ears of our little colleague Jay. My wife, who hasn't had the pleasure to date of meeting Jay, while she is the president of the Nathan Fan Club, we were driving to Brisbane some time ago, and it was just after the text message exchange where Jay had sent the photo of there was far too many arms and legs in my photo. And without thinking, I saw a text message come up on my watch, and I was like, oh, there's a message here from Nate. Can you see what it is? And she opens it up, and there was one small piece of text from Nate, and the rest of the screen was taken up with the rather explicit image that Jay had sent a couple of days prior.
It was like Siamese twin porn,
yeah,
or something, wasn't
something
it?
Like that.
Or something like that, yeah. Simulates, like, looked, it looked like that. It wasn't that, but it looked like that, yeah.
And she's like, I don't know what to say about that. I was like, yeah, look, anyway, it was all part of the conversation. You know, Jay sent us recently. Anyway, she's like, I think I need to meet Jay to work him out. I was like, you can meet him as many times as you fucking want. You're not going to work him out, but hey, I'm happy to set it up, no problem. But if you think you're going to meet him and work him out, good luck. many a woman has tried and failed before you.
There are subreddits of my ex-physicians.
Here comes Nicola Blakely from Toowoomba just going to work you out in one fucking meeting. Might even cook you a delicious meal or something. And, oh yeah, I've got him sus now.
Although, that's the thing. She'd just leave and be like, he's half a cunt, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, looks like you worked him out. That's it. Yeah, worked him out perfectly, babe. Well,
that's
done.
It.
What it would be like, oh, she'd be like another fan club for her to subscribe to. She'd, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. He's fine.
Oh.
And
if I have to get that in stereo, I get enough of that when it comes to you. I'm like, bitch, you got nothing.
You know what? On quite a serious level, having witnessed firsthand some of the stuff that goes on in that household, I think I'd need to spend a fair bit of that afternoon.
You've never been here.
Well, you know what? I see children getting yelled at live on my computer screen weekly. And so I really think that I need to congratulate her for raising two such stable, grounded and striving young men despite the obstacles they face.
That is an outrage.
So, yes. Let's set this barbecue up.
You're lucky that you hold such a place in my life that you can literally get away with saying anything, because that is some of the most outrageous shit you've ever fucking said.
I propose a date in early to mid-December, just so it's close enough to around your birthday that we can make it a birthday celebration.
Yeah,
like a birthday / Christmas thing. How about that?
You guys trying to convince season me break that you got up, me a amazing. Nice, thoughtful birthday gift, you pieces of shit. I'm going to put it in the fucking fire in front of you.
Now, on the subject of the day, the State of Origin. Game 2, played at Suncorp Stadium. Crowd of 52,273, and I think they just got that in there too because it was literally like on the day of the game where they're like, Rona's coming back, so we're going to need you to wear a mask into the game and into the stadium while you're walking about and stuff. And if you don't have one, you know, they sort of announced it so late. It was kind of like, look, if you don't have one, we'll be handing them out at the gate. But it went ahead. The crowd was there. And the mighty New South Wales Blues defeated the Queensland Maroons 26-0. The mighty Blues tries a double to Josh Adokar, Latrell Mitchell and Tommy Turbo with other tries, Cleary four conversions and a penalty goal, and defeated Queensland. I don't have the list of try scorers in front of me right now.
La, la, la. If you're going to hum like that, at least put my balls in your mouth.
Now, look, it was a great game of rugby league played by the New South Wales Blues. Very different to game one. I kind of felt like, especially the way they started, by the end of the game, I was happy to have won the series, but I was a little bit like flat in terms of, it was obviously a comprehensive beating. And it was probably more of a comprehensive beating just in terms of overall control of the game. But just the points, you know, didn't come, you know, on the back of it. There was, you know, some situations, some close calls where tries were bombed. You know, Cam Murray. Bombed two tries for us. Like, he dropped a pass from Tommy and then he, you know, a technical but correct penalty where he had that other try for Tommy disallowed as well. So, and it kind of brought the scoreline back a little bit to, you know, I don't want to say respectable, but, you know, certainly far less than it could be. And also in the second half, they really did, I don't know, they really zoned in on defense, and defense was clearly super important to them, and that zero scoreline was clearly super important to them. But attacking-wise, they didn't kind of put it together. And, like, this, my theory is he had a great game, Teddy, but I feel like it was almost in game two he was like a hog, and he went and sought out far more of the ball, and as a result, a lot less was happening with it. And to the extent, like, you only saw Tommy probably drift over to the left there twice, three times all game in attack. And it just it seemed like they kind of got away a little bit from what worked, but just through the sheer dominance of the performance overall, and you know, an incredible first half from Latrell Mitchell as well. They still, you know, had plenty of points on the board to see the challenge away.
What do you think the reason for that was? Like Teddy,
I honestly don't know. He definitely got more ball.
You wouldn't accuse him of being a Will Chambers or a, you know, like a proper
ball. No, but it was a very eastern suburbs just sort of performance from Teddy, where he sort of, you know, because with the Roosters, with all the injuries this year, he's really sort of carries a lot of the load, and like up through the middle as well.
Yeah,
and it just seemed like it didn't get out to the edges as much as a result. But look, you know, it's hard to complain, because like the Queensland Challenge lasted literally, what, one set, five minutes, two sets. Like, they came out amazing. And it's exactly what a Queensland fan probably would have wanted to see. I mean, that first set, they had, you know, the first three tackles or whatever, they had them smashed on the 10-meter line.
That was the most Origin start to an Origin I can remember. Like, that first set. You remember that was always the most exciting bit?
Yeah, and the first guy taking a hit up, you just know the guy's just getting obliterated.
Yeah, that's it.
And like, and in that set, you know, you had crushing tackles from, you know, Jai Arrow was up in there, Papali'i was up in there, but I swear I didn't even fucking hear their names called again for the entire rest of the game.
Yeah,
honestly, they just disappeared after that, and the forwards then from that point on, their forwards weren't even getting back on side until like the fucking fourth tackle. I mean, they were doing nothing.
Yeah, I thought for Queensland, Welch was good, and look, I rate him as a player anyway, and he seems to be from that mold of like, I will get in there and work my guts out. Like, there will be nothing left of me that I haven't put out on that field.
Murderous Frank had that. This is my first Origin kind of energy going on as well, and he wasn't too bad when he came on either, I thought. But guys, like, rewind to last year's series where Queensland got the surprising win with the alleged worst side, blah 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 blah. But that series was characterized by the advent of, you know, Tino, Fotowaika, fucking Fifita, and guys like this absolutely standing up and destroying New South Wales forwards, and, you know, destroying Teddy, and you know, we didn't respond, and we're you know, on the back foot. This time though, I don't know whether it's a feature of the Gold Coast ruining Tino and Fifita, but those two were fucking terrible. And like Tino in particular, like, missed how many tackles?
He was bad on. And he was poor.
Yeah.
He was very poor.
Well, conversely to your theory, I thought Jai Arrow was decent as well.
I don't even recall seeing his ass after that great first set.
I think Arrow, he tried, but he couldn't match the level of intensity and the effort. And then the fact that the run after him was then, you know, these guys, again, you can barely remember Fifita and Tino's names being called. Those guys, they've got a ways back now, I feel. They're starting to get especially Fifita, not only at Origin level now, but certainly at club level, there's a bit of a stink on him now that he can go missing if you get into his head or if you rough him up a little bit. You know, he likes, you know, the article in the paper last week about, you know, he likes to run at little blokes, and he took offense to that, but there's some truth to that. And when he's got his tail up and he feels like he's unstoppable, then he's probably busting tackles of big blokes too. But when the little blokes are knocking him on his ass.
let's call a spade though. You know, every big man does love that. It's a valid strategy.
Well, it's been a strategy of the game for 100 years.
That's it. Yeah. To get your giant guy one-on-one with a smaller man, there you go. You're using an advantage. But all of the other guys that have had that in their game or finished off tries like that, you're right, Clint. They had, well, okay, I'm going to run over a little man, but I'm sure as shit not going to back down to a guy that's big.
Yeah, that's the point
I'll make him earn it.
Because especially at Origin, right? Like if you feel like the other team is getting over the top of you, the true Origin players, as the term goes, are the guys that stand up and go, well, I'm going to take you blokes with me, or I'm going to do it on my, I'm going to play a soul hand, but I'm going to stand up to these blokes. And they didn't. They fucking didn't.
And talking of missing, I thought Munster was nigh on invisible for the first half.
Yeah. Look, I think their entire side was invisible. And I think it's just this cascading rugby league inevitability that the forwards were absolutely dominated and, you know, weren't getting back on side to do their hard work. The backs had to do a lot of hard work, particularly in defence as well. I mean, DCE was like that. He was run at the entire game. And as a result, and they just don't have the, like Capewell, you know, we know that he's like, you know, he'll try hard and everything like that. Yeah. He is not a great centre. Gagai, traditionally in Origin, is great, but man, when you put him up against a teammate who knows his game presumably very intimately, Latrell fucking had him so well managed that he did not fire a shot in that game at all. And then you've got disasters like Kyle Feld on the wing.
In the spirit of fairness, Gags had a couple of moments where it was like Origin effort plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there were a couple of times on Latrell that he did, you know, nullify something that was
There could have been something, yeah.
That's it. But you're right. How the fuck is Queensland picking a centre who's not even a centre at his club?
Yeah.
You know, I 100% understand that is an invaluable talent to have where something like an injury could cruel you.
Yeah.
And Capewell is probably the best forward into a centre option you'd have in the competition. I'm trying to think of anyone. Anyone else that would fill that role better?
Yeah, from forward to centre. I'm just trying to think of who's killing it like the last month in the competition of interchanges and I don't want to bring up cunts, but Capewell is good.
Yeah,
at that, I mean, he's a great. He'd be great 14 or maybe a 16 or something like that. That could come in if you have to reshuffle the back line due to an injury somewhere along the line.
That's it. But this is supposed to be the pinnacle of the sport. Mm,
yeah.
You know, so on Teddy, here's a few hypotheses on his game last night. Teddy can let people get in his head. Now, here's one of the potential drawbacks, if you've got to have any, of having all of these other superstar fullbacks on the team. Where was all the glory after game one?
Yeah. It was all Tommy Latrell and,
exactly. Yep. It was on every fullback in the New South Wales side except for Teddy.
Except for the person in the one, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's it. And you could forgive him for wanting to inject himself into that game a little bit more.
Yeah. And I have no doubt that all three of them have a commission from Fittler where it's like if you see something's on, then feel free to you know play what you see.
That's it. The other thing is, apparently that Cleary injury to the shoulder happened very early in the game, or not as late as people first thought.
Yeah, because he didn't really look shot until sort of, you know, midway through the second half, I think. That's when I first noticed it.
But maybe that was something where there wasn't enough of what was going on in game one going on. Because Cleary wasn't 100%.
Mm. Yeah, right.
And so then that's just Teddy being the captain saying, well, okay, if he's told us that he can't do this,
then we're just going to do it this way. Yeah.
That's it. Again, just hypotheses. I have no basis for that being true.
For Queensland, Paul Green, I don't know that I've had raps on him as a coach, and I feel like he had a pretty charmed run with his success at the Cowboys, obviously with JT being there and Morgan following on after that. But
twin fucking JTs, right?
Yeah, and Taumalolo as well. But I don't think he's a great coach. And
well, let's go back on that Cowboys team, because I believe Jonathan Thurston, and to an extent Michael Morgan, overshadows what a fucking kissed on the dick side that was for him to win a grand final with. their forward pack was essentially the Australian.
Well, yeah.
And if not Australian, another nation's representative forward pack.
Yeah. Certainly like an origin level, you know, if not Australian, you know.
The worst player in that forward pack was a career peak Jake Granville.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was a far cry from where he is now in terms of skill and an impact on a football field. Like that team should have won more than one with those players.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not sure there was much of his genius. Yeah.
And also led around the field by one of the most natural and uncoached players in the game.
Ever.
You know?
Yeah, that's it.
In the history of the game.
It's like that origin thing. Yeah, the players don't really need the coaching because they all bring what they bring to the table. And
that's true.
And all that sort of
but
thing.
But they don't need the coaching until they do. And these last two games, they needed fucking coaching, or they needed some different idea or something to be injected into the course of the game to try and stem the bleeding. They dropped their heads, and you know, for decades now, people have talked about Queensland spirit, and you've got Cherry Evans coming out in the press conference saying, "Oh well, I just think New South Wales had more motivation because we won it last year." Well, fucking, what about New South Wales turning up year after year after year when Queensland won fucking eight in a row or nine? You know, 11 out of 12 or whatever the fuck it was. You know, your motivation is this is the highest caliber of rugby league that you can play, and as a professional fucking athlete that plays in the sport of rugby league, you shouldn't need motivation to pull that fucking jersey on and run out into that field and give your best.
Yeah, it's going to be killing that. It's going to kill the whole Queensland mystique thing if they get a couple more of those.
Yeah.
Sorts of wins and a couple more series.
Like that. Like these are fucking demoralising defeats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like I've never heard Munster so fucking like, I don't know. He was so scattered in that interview where as he was coming off at half time, like he was fucking like he didn't know what the fuck to do.
Because
he was panicked.
Munster's an agent. He's an agent of chaos on the football field. And we've had this discussion before that Munster's, the greatest thing that ever happened to him was having Cronk in his time there, and then even after that, Cameron Smith there. For when Munster got too fucking scattered, Smith was the one that would rein him in and say, well, okay, fuck you, go off and be scattered out there somewhere. I'm just going to get us back on track with the game plan. I'm going to control where the team goes. I'm the voice everyone will listen to, you know. And now, at the Storm, he's got his number seven who'll do that when he's off getting a little bit too fucking erratic.
Yeah.
What's his name? Will fucking bring it back and just keep it simple, kick to the corners and really bring Melbourne back into a position. He doesn't have that in the Origin side.
Yeah, and that's another thing as well. You can complain injuries all you want, but when you're fucking bringing Macca back into the side to State of Origin level, I mean, that guy's barely fucking club. At this point, he's just the last Queensland hooker standing.
Yeah,
essentially.
But no, that's not actually true because a better option was in 14.
Yeah, but even so, he's not.
I'm not saying that changes
he's
the course of the game, but he's a better option every day of the week.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not fucking. He's not a great option. He's a good super sub, and sometimes he plays spectacularly. From hooker.
Mm.
Sometimes he's fucking terrible. Sometimes he plays amazing dominant
games
from halfback.
It's like deciding which wart you want to cut off your dick first. Or I'm not saying either is a fantastic fucking option, but you've got to pick one.
Yeah, yeah. So
reminds me, I've got an appointment with the doctors tomorrow. But the disparity in talent between the two sides, and history will show, you know, time will tell whether that New South Wales have the longevity of it, but on the field in these first two games, the void between the talent of both sides is as big as it ever was in that Queensland dynasty.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. And
I don't know how you felt during Queensland dynasty games, but like this game, after we scored the first try, I was like, we're on. And I felt close to the least amount of tension I've ever felt watching an Origin
that,
game.
I think the Queensland, those sides played a different brand of football, and I feel the game and the rules at as they stand at the moment, with those players in that New South Wales side, and you're right, they score one try, which means momentum. Then you've got guys that are absolutely, you know, there's probably six guys in that side that are the absolute best in the competition at capitalising on momentum and quick play the balls and field position and then the flow, and that fucking, that's a hard rock to stop rolling. And it shows.
But like, the thing to me in terms of reviewing that game, thinking back on it, how many of the New South Wales side do you actually not have, you know, great memories of? Like, think, you know, Saifidi, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds like I'm slagging them here, saying that I can't really remember them doing anything amazing. But that's just because everyone just did exactly what they needed to do.
There no one no brought themselves. No one brought attention to themselves by doing something shit.
Yeah.
Or
I thought Damien Cook had a really quiet game. Really quiet.
Yeah. But he did exactly what he needed to do. All the time.
And like Tarek Sims, like we were like, oh fuck, you know, at the start of the series. But that guy has fucking absolutely showered himself in glory for his performances in his Origin series.
He certainly has. Somehow he is. Turned a switch in his brain that gives him half a second of forethought before he does something fucking stupid and penalty inducing. Yeah. You know? So mental health professionals all over the world, take note. They've cracked the code. He's done it.
Ask Tarek.
But hashtag. But the other thing is that New South Wales side has such cohesion so quickly.
Yeah.
And the difference in watching them in defence, because Queensland made some breaks last night and Queensland created some overlaps and they got guys that can absolutely fucking punish you in that situation. But the way that New South Wales, and especially their outside backs, trust each other implicitly and allow other players to make their defensive decision to allow them to back them up. Yep. Whereas previously what would have happened is there wasn't enough trust there. And so the inside man or the outside man would crack and rush in and try and do something stupid without letting the A defender or the person that the defensive decision was on to dictate how the play went.
Yep.
And the fact that they're a little bit more patient with each other paid such fucking dividends in defense because there was less scramble.
Yep. And then when they were forced to scramble, the absolute desperation to prevent a single point being scored was just fucking spectacular.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The obvious mismatch on that field was Kyle Felt on Toto.
Yeah.
Obvious. And they tried it a couple of times.
Almost cracked it that first time, except he dropped it. Yeah.
Yep. But that was little more than Toto being just like, well, yeah, fuck yeah, you're a lot bigger than me and you can probably jump a little bit higher than me. But fuck you, I will not make it easy.
Yeah.
Mm. I will be fucking at you every time they go. Nothing will be easy. And I will jump into you and under you and rip the ball out of your hands.
Yep.
That sort of attitude. And that just seems to be their standard mode. And they've bought a lot of that from their club, obviously. But it just seems like, yeah, okay, that's how we fucking play State of Origin.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was in that mindset.
Oh, it's infectious. And like, we spoke about this before we were recording and we've spoken about it, you know, but, you know, even just after the game. But just like I'm so there for the fucking, for the cunt jubilation for everything that happens. They celebrate tries and glory. But then when Tommy knocks the ball out of Xavier Coates' arm and you see Fox running over there pointing directly in Coates' face, laughing in his face about the fact he didn't score the try. It. And then you fast forward a couple of minutes later when Felt has his greatest opportunity of the game and somehow manages to have the ball dislodged before he can ground it by Toto. And then the same thing, he's marching back to the, you know, back to the 20 and Luai walks past giving him the fucking finger waggle in there.
It's fucking sensational.
I fucking love that shit.
Yeah.
And the thing, I love it because people will call it like arrogant now and New South Wales are this and fucking New South Wales are that. But it is exactly the same bullshit that Thurston used to carry 100%. On with the fucking Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah. And there's that like, I actually saw it today, the famous photo where Chambers and Thurston are like absolutely laughing and giving it to Mitchell Pearce after.
And you know that Chambers is one of the biggest gobs in the history of the game too. So you know he was just fucking launching. Doing the singing the yai yai yippee shit, you know, after a Kangaroos match. You know, after a win by the Kangaroos, like, you know, and trying to rope New South Wales players that were playing in the Australian side into that shit. Like, you know, they...
Tell you what, I would suggest New South Wales need to do the reverse, but picked on form, there would be no Queenslanders in the side to troll.
Exactly.
Fuck your state. It's fucking dead. Not even one representative player.
And so I guess
Paul Green is not even fit to wipe the shit out of the toilets in the Kangaroos dressing shed.
Absolutely not. Now, I guess we've got a couple of weeks before we look forward to game three. Look, I expect Queensland to be not a significantly different side in the sense that there's going to be mass firings. However, I would anticipate that you're probably going to see Ponga and Grant fit and they'll immediately be 1-9. Look, it makes him a better... Harry Grant makes any side better. Look what happened with fucking West Tigers last year. I mean, it's like 2020, 2021. I mean, it's clear, you know. Well, at least, you know, they didn't lose by as much, I guess. But
mate, we're here to talk about a fucking shit origin performance by Queensland. Why are you going to bring Tigers up?
I'm trying to give you hope for game three by talking about Harry Grant and what he might bring to the party for you.
What you're trying to do is be a cunt, and you're succeeding.
Yep. As I said on Facebook, yai yai yippee, have a cry.
So here's an interesting one. You know how they say that if Xavier Coates wasn't called in,
yes,
then Payne Haas would have been the only Bronco to play Origin, yes, and not for Queensland.
Yes.
So is it true that if Coates hadn't come in, that would have been the first Queensland Origin side without a Bronco in it?
Yeah, basically it was the first Queensland Origin side without a Bronco selected. And because Xavier Coates wasn't selected. I mean, he became part of this late last minute sort of rush around thing. So at that point when they picked that side, it was the first Queensland side that hadn't a Bronco selected in it, ever. And then they managed to kind of backdoor that by the whole Xavier Coates thing coming into the side because of the situation with the Moot, which I guess we didn't talk about, did we?
Just before we get onto that,
yeah.
So looking at the Storm, they had Munster, Kafusi, Welsh,
Fox.
Who else? Fox. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4?
That's about it, isn't it?
What are the and it's only because in the NBA at the moment, everyone's making this big fuss about Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because alternate dimension Glenn's kid.
Yep.
Is leading a team to.
Jackson has latched onto that too.
Just let him know, right, that we've come to the conclusion that Trae Young is from an alternate reality where your wife's left you to raise the kids by yourself. And it's not that he's actually, because he's an NBA player, that's not the reason. It's just because he is such a lippy, little, balding, looking degenerate.
With that cat's hair. He's got that kind of like a cat's hair afro. Oh. And
so it's more an insult to me than Leo. Because Leo is pretty lippy.
Yeah, it's not an insult to Leo. I mean, I'm sure if he knows that, if he's like interested in NBA, he's probably like, yeah, fucking great. People say I look like an NBA player. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It can be a mouthy little jerk.
But well, obviously it's without the calming influence that I assume his mother brings to him.
Yeah.
But they're saying that team, I don't know if that now or if they win this series they're in now, would be the most successful team to go the deepest into the finals without an all-star.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So they don't have an all-star on that team.
Right.
What's the lowest number of Origin players that a premiership side's ever had?
Oh, fuck.
West Tigers 2005 requires... had one.
Oh, there you go.
Scott Prince.
There you go.
Like, I'm even now going, yeah, just in going back through the through Manly sides in my head, and there's tons of players that did play Origin, but did they play it then?
When did your fucking shit cunt scarecrow fullback get selected then? Was that pre? The one that Gordon Tallis fucking threw over the sideline?
Oh, he was playing for Para then, wasn't he?
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. That's the thing, it's hard to remember if they, you know, you remember them playing Origin, but you're like, oh, fuck, did they do it then? Or were they, was that, yeah, you know, pre or post?
What I did love, though, was did you see fucking Luai recreate that moment with DCE last night? Fucking dragging him by the jersey?
No, I didn't see, I didn't honestly see that.
Fucking modern day Gordon Tallis, that
the
man.
Jersey, the jersey was just going up Daly's neck and just kept going.
I tell you, every time I see that Tallis thing, though, I just want to, like... It was the most obvious fucking penalty.
You just want to call hell.
I mean, the absolute fucking murder that those cunts got away with,
yeah,
you know, from the referees in the height of their powers was fucking absolutely diabolical when you look back at it.
Yeah.
His mother is a rig.
Oh, wow.
Fuck that guy. Do you have anything you'd like to say to the Queensland supporting listeners of the show, Glenn? Can you offer them a ray of hope, some solace, comfort, anything to get them through?
Do you believe in life after love?
Oh, it's fucking... No, I don't. look, as a West Tigers fan, I don't have much to say. But as a Queensland fan, I know one thing. It's a horrible fucking combination to be a West Tigers fan and a Queensland fan right about now.
Now, we had some last-minute dramas, didn't we, with this game?
Where we had, how good, though, Nathan, quickly, how good, though, for your brethren of the Tigers who get to understand just what they missed out on by not getting Ivan? Like, how good that for three games a year, they can feel what they would have felt if their club wasn't run out of fucking demountables.
We had Ivan.
Like,
we got Ivan.
You know, but you lost him. You lost him.
But we had him.
And in losing him, you lost Nathan.
We never had
Nathan.
You just said
you don't believe in life after love, Glenn.
Yeah.
This is...
Now, do you know who else comes with Nathan? His best mate that he's played all of his football with growing up. Cleary and Luai could have been the Tigers 6 and 7 right now.
And you know who comes with Luai? His best mate.
His best mate.
Brian Toto.
So,
and then you wouldn't have Nofaluma there, so defensively
Luai's
you'd be
fucking... Nathan Cleary's best mate. But Nathan's not Luai's best mate. Fucking hell. Poor old Nathan. He's been left out in the cold. Like, it's third wheel.
They could have been sitting, you know, singing Boys to Men classics.
They could have. With Luke Brooks in the background doing the harmony.
At Leichhardt.
That's right.
No, Luke
it doesn't
Brooks
fucking
be there
work.
Because Nathan Cleary
they all
be
belong
there.
At Penrith.
No.
They do not belong at the West Tigers with Luke Brooks singing fucking
Luke Brooks
harmonies.
Would be in fucking England at this point, presumably.
Yeah.
No, the Tigers wouldn't have got
We're
rid
talking
of Luke
about
Brooks.
A reality where you've got a proper seven. Why is he even there?
Well, we need someone to play Reggie's.
Yeah, he's getting service from fucking Little or fucking Simpkin or Menamina or fucking whoever the next big thing is at the time.
Can you imagine what a fucking star Cleary and Luai would make Little look like?
Oh.
He would be a fucking player. Maybe even an Origin player.
Maybe. Better than an Origin player. Maybe he'd be the player that West Tigers fans said he was when he was in the Reggies.
Damien Cook would never have been a thing. The real Damien Cook would have been Jacob Little.
So there we go. I'm so happy that my long suffering Tigers friends.
You don't know anyone. There's no one that fits that description.
Feel. For a brief second, they feel the sunshine on their face. Should be very happy.
Fuck's sake. You guys fucking annoy me. Come here every fucking week for 3 hours to listen to this fucking shit. I've had enough. Fucking try and let Daily Cherry Evans fucking steer the ship. What a fucking cunt circus. Fuck out of here. Oh. I remember the text message that Nathan sent me.
Will you fuck up, cunt?
No, I will not. I'm finished. I'll stop.
I'm trying to create some silence here, motherfucker. Yeah.
Well, I haven't finished, so there will be no silence. I will not be silenced.
Oh, I've got to delete all of this. Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, fuck you. Done now. Here's your silence.
Give me some socials, Jay.
Oh, socialies. On Twitter, at Aussie Jag, said, fuck Queensland and fuck the Broncos. Sensational. At King Levius, said, sexy eyes, Reese's was blessed to not have been associated with these absolute peasants. Jeffrey Dahmer has more creativity in attack than those cucks. Suck my dick from the back and enjoy holding Latrell's pocket, Queensland. Hashtag Yeary of Blues Cleary. Hashtag one in a row. Hashtag PC out for Reese. Hashtag fuck the Maroons. How good.
Why is there like a hashtag for fucking Reese in there?
Well, you know, that is a Reese Stan account.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's it. So, at Mitch Doyle 13 said, I didn't think it was physically possible, but Kyle Felt both sucks and blows. at Jared _Hunt said, take it in, Queensland, because this is the swamp of shit you get to swim in for what could be the next 10 years. This is the best you have. Not even your grub ways or referee bias will save you now. There you go. At Bigger Rod, how many Queenslanders make the Kangaroo side? Arrow and Welsh on the bench, but other than that, I can't think of any Queenslander who outplayed their opposite number.
Yeah, the only thing that can save them are the people that went representative preference for example, like if Luai and To'o were played for Samoa, for example.
Yeah.
That's literally the only thing that would save any of them.
Yep. At _AppaYipYip44. There is some real cunt in these Blues, and I am here for it. Across the park, the Blues are bigger, faster, stronger, more talented, and more ruthless, and they're not afraid to let Queensland know it. Fucking tremendous. I agree, and the biggest exponent of that last night was Latrell Mitchell, who has moved from the Latrell. Do you remember when he was so easy to suck into an individual battle?
Yeah.
And yep. Fuck in the head? And that was how Queensland got him. In that last series that he played in, he was, like, they won despite him when he was just sucked into that fucking one-on-one shit
yep.
with anyone that was in front of him. And last night, it was him. He was at DCE all night and was in his fucking head.
And how good was it to see fucking Latrell 90 metres, his fat guts fucking... swinging around, an absolute icon and inspiration to us all.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he gets into shape? Like, he had a rough year last year and yep. all the rest of it. And I thought he would do the Greg Inglis thing where he comes in round one and then come Origin time, lo and behold, it looks like he's dropped 8 or 9 kilo and he's in shape and he's dominating. He hasn't done that. He's still dominating, but he certainly hasn't dropped 8 or 9 fucking kilos. But I just wonder if this is the catalyst now for him to, you know, head down, bum up. And
now, forgive me while I murder the maths here, but I've been doing some research as well. Like, I'm still struggling to shift the last couple of kilos of belly fat. So I've been trying to move for a while. So I've been looking at everything, trying to figure out how to work out differently or how to eat a bit differently. And I keep coming across this formula, and it's something like 1 pound of body fat equals 3,500 calories.
Yeah, so the energy expenditure required to burn that much fat.
The amount of energy in the fat.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Whether you burn it or not, it contains 3,500 calories. So looking at Latrell, for him to drop, well, yeah, whatever it is, 5 kilos, what's that, 2.5 pounds? That's 7,000 extra calories over how long? And when you're eating to maintain professional athlete energy levels, that's a fucking hard thing to do.
Look, it's fucking working for him.
So,
end of the day, he's at the peak of his powers at the moment. Are his powers? He outran, you know, the Queensland State of Origin side on a fucking length of the field break. So, but still, he got there. Yeah. It's working for him.
Fuck yeah.
He probably fucking, after that run, he probably walked back to the fucking, to collect the kickoff. He probably walked back a fucking kilo lighter then.
Yeah, true.
So.
Ryan in our Facebook group says, I vividly remember the first time I masturbated. This is the closest I've come to replicating that moment, minus the shame. Nat said, if COVID-19 was a league team, it would be the Queensland side. And if a Wuhan lab assistant was a coach, it would be Paul Green. Sam said, at the end of the day, despite copping a couple of losses during the period, Penrith will benefit from Origin massively.
Yeah.
From the increased confidence and big game experience given to Luai and Cleary and the rest of the Panthers, this is huge for them. Yeah, I agree. Jason said, on behalf of the worst Queensland team in history, fuck, we sucked. Enjoyed taking my lad to our first Origin game. There you go. How good. From Insta, Sam Carriage 89 said, interesting how New South Wales dominated both games and yet King Nutho didn't play either game. Also interesting how there wasn't a single Tigers player for New South Wales either. Oh, I love it. Charlie 72 said, New South Wales dominant again. Teddy gets to lift the shield. Let's hope the game isn't moved from Homebush and I'm there to see it. Fuck, I hope so.
It's going to be moved from Homebush. But the thing is that Newcastle, while not in Sydney and subject to total lockdown, it's still subject. You know, regional places are still subject to certain distancing rules. So they're not going to be able to run a full complement of spectators at that stadium either. So I say bring it up to Brisbane again.
Yes.
And as I said on the Facebook group, for anyone, fucking an absolute fact. If they run game 3 out of Suncorp Stadium and the Blues do not throw a hand grenades try celebration, get at us on social media. I want to fucking round up a dozen Blues supporters and we will recreate the hand grenade try celebration at the Wally Wanker statue after the game.
Bullshit. Yep. We'll fucking run onto the field and do it.
Well, yeah, go find me.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And the last comment we'll give on that is from our good mate, the Biggest Tiger. He said, I never wanted that game to end. Absolute paprika levels in my lovely little lockdown lounge room. And there we go.
That's the Tiger exactly stuff you're talking about, man.
Do you see how fucking happy your mate is, Glenn? He just got to watch a good team.
I'm happy for him.
Like, he got to watch a team full of players that earned Origin selection, not demanded it.
You can demand it all you want. Doesn't mean you're going to be selected. David Lofaluma, like case in point.
It's like Christmas in the trenches in World War I. All the gunfire and shelling and fucking PTSD-causing bullshit stopped for one glorious night. And there he was, up the top, playing soccer with the Germans. Good on you, Tiger. How good.
Playing soccer with the English, you mean? I mean, the Tigers fans are the Germans, right? In this scenario.
Hey.
Yeah, true.
What do I want to say? Oh, yeah, did you see the ad break through the telecast of the game that with Sportsbet saying that they're doing the try July. Mm-hmm. And so any tries scored in July with a celebration attached to it will earn a $5,000 donation to Men in League, which is going to benefit Mossy Masoi. So I really want a fucking $5,000 hand grenade in game three if possible. But I want to see, I just want to see try celebrations galore and get these, you know, get people actually fucking creative over, you know, after we click over into the first week of July, first games in July.
Do you know what it's going to be?
What's that?
Nothing but TikTok and Fortnite dances.
Yeah. So I'm there for it. Do it. It's just, we barely see any anymore now. It's just like, you know, smack on the logo.
Yeah.
And, you know, big up like yourself on the logo, boot the ball into the crowd.
Inglis used to do the Goanna.
The Goanna, yeah.
Latrell did the kangaroo.
Yeah. He doesn't do that every time anymore either, does he?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not sure he had the energy after his intercept.
Yeah, true.
But I might do an anti-celebration in game three where I do the remote control or I pick up the remote control and turn the fucking television off.
Now, do we want to talk about this situation with the Moot at all?
It's bizarre.
It's just bureaucratic paper filling out incompetence on the part of the QRL. But it's the most origin thing ever that it comes out from some fucking gronk on Twitter musing about it. And then I saw Mazcord and someone else got onto it. And then they're like, oh, this actually could be a thing. And then the next day it's like, oh, yeah, he's ruled himself out. The interesting thing for me was when he ruled himself out, the Moot said, I don't want my inclusion in the team, you know, to be the cause of, like, you know, results being overturned or something, which makes me think, why the fuck aren't New South Wales getting a lawsuit together right now to retroactively have all of the GI wins overturned? Change the entire fucking landscape of this origin shit.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
If that's a thing, I mean, if the Moot is the learned law... knowledgeable about law of rugby league player that I expect that he is, perhaps he's onto something. And perhaps this one gronk on Twitter has started this cascading butterfly flapped his wings, which is going to be resulting in that, like, you know, the fucking eight in a row overturn and the, you know, the decade dynasty in tatters and New South Wales win half those series.
I enjoyed the way that he got on. And you know, he said, I'm obviously not a qualified lawyer. I have studied, so I'm a barely legal Moot. You know, even though I've prepared for this game and, you know, had to have my strapping tape put on already, so I'm a freshly shaved Moot.
See, now you got that. That's what you've gone one too far. You should have quit when you were winning. Barely legal Moot was a great one, as people know, because I'm making it the title of the episode. But will it get our episode flagged and, you know, not published on PG sources? I don't know. But what else are we going to talk about?
Shame he's not from Brazil.
Yeah.
Are you going to say something racist?
No. Why do you always go there?
Well, you're a skinhead from sickness. Toowoomba.
You're a skinhead from Toowoomba.
Via Campbelltown. Fuck me, Ned.
This is it's the ultimate quick maths, I mean, of course. Hey, fellas, we're in the thick of winter and a storm's a-brewing. It looks like 2 to 3 inches are in the forecast when you trim that hibernation bush that's taking place in your pants. Luckily, our partners at Manscaped specialize in products to make sure you're walking around town with beautiful snowballs. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code TWILNATION at manscaped.com.
The Lawnmower 3.0 Trimmer is the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of its ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, the snags on your snowballs will be reduced. The trimmer is also waterproof, so you can trim in the shower or in the spa bath at the hotel. if you're an absolute savage.
This bundle also comes with the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. The Crop Preserver is anti-chafing ball deodorant that will make your balls smell nice and make you feel like your testes are walking in a winter wonderland. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts that make your balls look up to you and say, thanks.
20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code TWILLNATION. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code TWILLNATION, all in caps. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our winter wieners look so good. That's it, folks. Oh, God. That is it. I think we've done Origin. Do you want to mention anything about Origin? You finished, guys?
I'm fucking done.
No.
You're not finished? What would you like to say? Or you just want to keep... We can keep beating Glenn up for a while if you want.
fucking bring it on, cunts.
I could do this all night. But in the interest of Glennie's mental health, that's full time for episode 411. Thanks for listening,
everyone.
Did you
enjoy it, Glennie?
you can't. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. To grab the link to our Patreon, social media, community support, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating review on Apple Podcasts. Become a patron, patreon.com/twillnation. And on the subject of the patrons, shout out to our main men, Conan. What is best in life? Being a fucking patron of This Week in League. Brett and JDHD. Thank you for your support, fellas. You're all fucking awesome. And all three of you, quite long-term members and supporters of the show. So I really appreciate you motherfuckers. And
Don't
forget, pre-order now. I want to pull the trigger on the production as soon as possible. You know, as soon as perhaps Monday, for the 2021 New South Wales State of Origin victory t-shirt that needs to be seen to be believed.
Yes.
Thisweekinleague.com. Head to the shop.
Thing. I've seen a couple of people out there saying that they can't wear this t-shirt or can't wear it to work because of what it has on there. To which I say, A, fucking buy things other than work clothes, you cheap cunts. Like, there are things called after hours and weekends and holidays where you can wear things that aren't fucking, you know, a shirt and tie or high vis or a fucking uniform with the golden arches on it, you fucking simpletons. But the other thing is, this t-shirt is mutually assured destruction if anyone gives you any shit.
Exactly.
If you wear this shirt to work, anyone that wants to report you to HR will have to sit down with HR and say, that shirt is offensive. Do you know what HR will say? Why? They're wearing a shirt where that picture says that those six black men...
That sometime in the future after this picture...
Yeah, they intend to penetrate every non-ear hole orifice in that young girl's body.
With her full consent, I might add.
Correct. So, for you to get in trouble, they will have to explain to HR that they understand and are indeed a fan of interracial gangbang porn.
Exactly.
So what you are doing is actually demonstrating your alpha status by taking it to work and saying, what? Report me, I dare you.
Exactly.
Have that conversation, I dare you.
Exactly. Because the shirt itself is not bad at all. What it implies isn't bad in my opinion either, because I'm not a fucking Jesuit. But, you know, it's a meme. And if you know, you know. And, you know, and if you don't...
Who do you want to be? Yeah. Do you want to be DCE or Cleary? That's the choice you have.
And on that note... Oh, actually, I think I've got tipping results. Actually, no, I don't. Fuck it. Someone's in the lead. There's a couple of people in there. They'll round out a collection of players that formulate a top 10 with a potential spread of, you know, between 2 and 3 points from 1 through 10. Congratulations on the ones who fit that arbitrary list this week, and continued success going forward in that.
Someone's in the lead. Someone's in the lead. There's people behind them.
Exactly. Just on a serious note, it looks like we're heading into some fucking serious times with Rona again, with people locking down. This is the first time that it's happened this year to a state that matters. And by that, I mean New South Wales. So get out there and, you know, be kind to each other. Do your part. Don't fucking bitch about shit. And help someone else if you can. You know, if you live near elderly people, go around and see if they need a hand or if they've got family to help them out. Don't fucking cough on them.
I was going to say, see if you can get into their will and cough on them.
I thought you were going to say, don't fuck them. Thanks for clarifying.
You know. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. They said the stuff that I was thinking. Oh, geez.
Don't be so fucking insensitive, man. You don't fuck old ladies. You graciously accept the sensual gummy.
The older the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Use such fucking crass language. God. You're a poor wife.
Big fan of yours. Big fan of yours. Bigger fan of Nathan's.
Like, the lengths that older ones will go to for you. Like, if you find a lady who, just to feed your ego, will fucking squeeze her colostomy bag just to make you think she's squirted. What a fucking sacrifice.
Oh, see, there we go. Just into touch.
Welcome, new listeners.
Congratulations on making it this far and no further.
We just completed a glorious finish to the show, and fucking Cameron Murray there, he's just way offside. and they've called it back. Talk to you boys and girls on Wednesday.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.